Well, as we look around in our world today, in the lives that we live in our world, one thing is very sure, that there's no lack of problems, is there? There's no lack of trials or situations that we're in. There's no lack of stress that we face day in and day out in our lives. It seems to be compounding and it just seems to be building and building. Well, the Bible says it will in the end times. That's a sermon for another day. But at any rate, we all deal with them. We know what that's like. The stress in our lives that we go through, in our jobs, at our schools, even in our churches. And oftentimes during these times of stress, people will say, I know the Bible says God doesn't give us more than we can handle, but I don't know, this is an awful lot for me to handle. So what I want to do this morning, because I hear this very often, is bring some clarity to this. God doesn't give us more than we can handle. Because in fact, that the very opposite of that is true, biblically. The very opposite of that is true. In our text today, we find Paul writing to the Corinthians about this concept. He's writing in terms of their avoiding self-indulgence. He talks about it being in the past, how their forefathers were all together under one cloud, passed through the sea together, baptized by the Holy Spirit, drinking the water from the rock which God provided, and that God was with them in Jesus Christ, actually, in his presence, as they traveled and provided for his people. Now, first of all, and I probably am getting ahead of myself, if you would have asked any one of those thousands of people wandering in the desert if God gave them more than they can handle, they all would have said absolutely. In fact, they complained that God had given them more than they can handle. They wanted to go back to Egypt, you see. And Paul says to the Corinthians, these things occurred as examples to us today from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Because what happened, even in the context of God providing for them all along the way, which he did in the desert, yes, they were in a troubling situation in the barrenness of the wilderness, lacking food, lacking water, and all those things, lacking protection, God provided in every case, you see. And that's what Paul's trying to say. These things happened as examples to show you that God will always provide for you along the way when you're in those overwhelming situations. Yet, he says, look at what these people did. They turned from God. They turned to pagan revelry, pagan ways. You see, they committed sexual immorality. They tested the Lord. They grumbled against him. And many of them died as a result. And Paul said these things happened as examples. And they're written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. That's the coming of Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of God's promise. These warnings are given to us, written down for us. You see, as a warning not to turn to those ways, not to be tempted by them and turn against God, you see. So he says, so if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall, because no temptation has seized you except what's common to man. And God will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, he'll provide a way out. Now let's talk about that a little bit. There's a correlation between tempting and testing. And what I want to do here this morning, I want to get a little bit away from the theological depth that we get into sometimes here on Sunday mornings. And I want to turn a little bit more to the Wesleyan practice of reason and reality in this. I want you to think about this morning. Okay? Let's think about this a little bit. Reason it out and apply the realities of our own lives. There's a correlation between tempting and testing, you see. Some translations use the word testing. No testing has overcome you except what God has common to man, and God's faithful. He'll not let you be tested beyond what you can bear. But what happens, you see, when these situations come on us in our lives and we find ourselves so overwhelmed to the point that we can't handle things, we're being tested. Okay? Plain and simple, biblical, we are being tested. Why does God allow this? The answer is, even though we don't understand it, we may not agree, is God is testing us to strengthen us. There's a good purpose in that we're going to get to in a minute. But what happens in that time of testing, when it's so overwhelming that we've been given more than we can handle, is we're tempted to turn our backs on God and turn to the ways of the world to find a solution to the problem, you see, and turn towards our own fleshly desires, thinking we can handle this. We can do this. Again, as I asked the young man in Panera Bread in Delaware, Ohio, a couple weeks ago, why in the world, with all the good books out there today and all the good material out in our world today that helps us through everyday life, why in the world would I want to read the Bible? See. And again, the answer I was looking for was not really even mentioned. Oh, the Bible's the truth. It's the Word of God. We've been told that in Sunday school. We've grown up with that, that it's true, it's written by God, and so on and so forth. But you know, it never really becomes true in our own hearts until we've applied it and experienced it and found out, yes, this absolutely is true because this is me in here. From cover to cover, there's times when I'm Noah, there's times when I'm David, there's times when I'm Paul, there's times when I'm Timothy. I see their struggles, I feel their struggles, I know exactly how they felt because I'm going through the same things, you see. So what do I do? And the Bible over and over keeps telling us the same thing in those times of trouble. First of all, God is an ever-present help in our times of trouble. And therefore, we should not fear. And Jesus said, don't be afraid. Believe in God. Believe in me. I'm coming back to take you to be with me. Stand firm in your faith. Trust in God. Focus our eyes heavenward. As Paul said, I've learned in all things to be content because I can do all things through Jesus Christ. Over and over and over, these things happen, see. And show us that these people were just like us. It was overwhelming, the situations they were in. The Apostle Paul bobbing around in the sea told the men, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. We're bobbers in a sea. Our ship's been smashed to pieces. And we're not supposed to be afraid. And Paul said, no, the Lord's going to save us. And he did. I need to get on with this. There's a correlation between tempting and testing. When we are tested in these situations, whatever they may be, physical, spiritual, financial, it's, you know, it's overwhelming. We're being tested. And the enemy comes in and says, where's your God? Where's your God? If your God really loved you, he wouldn't let you get like this in the first place. And that's not what the Bible says. That word tempt in the Bible, in the Greek language, was perosmos. It means a trial implying adversity. Anybody here this morning suffer adversity at all? You know what adversity is? Let's see. So with testing comes temptation. And possibly that's what Paul's talking about here. These people were tested in the desert. And they were tempted. Let's see. But they didn't trust that God was going to provide for them a way out. Which Paul says, when you're tempted, when you're tested, he's going to provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. I believe that God does give us more than we can handle. And the Bible validates that. Over and over and over again, he gives people more than they can handle. And why is that? In hopes that we'll turn to him and say, God, I can't handle this. How many of us have been too proud to say, God, I can't handle this. I've had enough. I can't handle this anymore. But now our earthly, fleshly desires say we can do this. I can handle this. You know, there's a popular slogan here. It's still, I guess, one by one of the well-known sports companies. Just do it. Just do it. Huh. Yeah, well, that really doesn't apply when you sit in the doctor's office and they say you have stage four cancer. Oh, just do it. Just do it. You know? The bill comes in the mail. Medical bills, the bills, utility bills. You don't have the money. No problem. Just do it. You're lying on your deathbed, about to take your last breath, and wondering what the next thing is going to be in your life. Just do it. You see how silly that is? Biblically, how silly that is? God gives us more than we can handle, so that we will lean on him, and the harder we lean on him, the stronger he's going to hold us up. James says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. You see, we should consider it pure joy when these trials come. When tempted, no one should say, God's tempting me, for God can't be tempted by evil, nor does God tempt anyone. But each one is tempted by his own evil desire, and he's dragged away and enticed. And after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. See? Did Noah have more than he can handle? You better believe he did. Did Moses have more than he can handle? Looking out over that Red Sea, the Pharaoh's army approaching from the rear, I'd sure say he had a lot more than he could handle. How about David, little shepherd boy, up against a giant who was a great warrior? Did he have more than he can handle? You better believe he did. The prophet Jeremiah saw his beloved city destroyed, and he writes that his soul's downcast, but what does he say? Yet I have hope. Hope. It seemed so overwhelming to him. It was more than he could bear to see a city destroyed. The Apostle Paul, when you read his bibliography and about his journeys, there's a man who should have given up on God long ago. But he didn't. He said, my God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. In fact, he even talks about how many times he was whipped. He was imprisoned. He was on his way to Rome on a ship, shipwrecked at sea. Yet he stayed faithful to God and ministered to those where he was imprisoned when he got to Rome. And then, of course, there's Jesus. Did Jesus have more than he can handle? Well, that's a matter of opinion. But you see, God provided in every situation for these people, these great people in the Bible. Read about it in the books of Ruth. Read about it in God's people. Throughout the whole Bible. Jeremiah, when he writes in Lamentations, says, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul's downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. In other words, I remember all that I've gone through, how my city's in ruins, our people have been carried off in captivity, and I'm just so depressed. I'm so down about all this. There's no hope, there's no help. Yet this I call to mind that brings me hope. This I remember, I bring it to my mind and remember that because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. To the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. So you see, what we find through all this is that even though the Bible may not say that God will not give us more than we can handle, because you know something, if he gave us what we could handle, every time we'd say, well, gee, I can handle this. Wow, this is nothing. I can deal with this. I can handle this. I don't know, God. I don't know if I really need you in my life. You see? But because we can't handle it, the Bible shows us time and time again a God that can and a God that will. But we have to have faith in him, and we have to turn to him, and we have to cry out to him. And I'm talking crying out with tears, crying out to him. Powerful when God's children come to him, crying in tears. Save us. Save us, God. Isn't that what God's in the business of doing? And you say, well, how's he going to pay my bills? And how's he going to make me completely well again? And how is he going to bring back the loved one that I lost? I don't know. I can't answer that. But I know God will do something. He'll do something to redeem us and save us and restore us. Because that's who he is. So we can't turn our backs on him. Despite all the troubles in the world, it's time to stand firm and focus our eyes heavenward and be strong in the Lord and be of good courage in him, because he's in control. I often use the example, if I'm walking down a path and I stumble and fall, thank you, God, that it didn't break my arm. If I break my arm, thank you, God, that it didn't break my neck. If I stumble and fall and break my neck, thank you, God, that I didn't die. If I stumble and fall and I die, thank you, God, that you've prepared a place for me where I'm healed for all eternity. It may be a morbid way of looking at it, but isn't it the truth when we stop to think about it? God's going to do things his way. He says, my ways are not your ways. So we have to trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not on his own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him, and he'll guide and guard our paths. We've been talking reason and reality. Isn't it interesting that when we honestly use reason and reality to understand these things, it leads us back to theology and the Bible, doesn't it? Because the Bible's true. It's been true for thousands of years. In fact, it's been true for eternity, because it was God's word even before we had the Bible. And it'll be true for all eternity, forever. It leads us back to theology in the Bible, which points us to God, who works all things in accordance with his will. Let's pray.